Welcome to Spiritual Changemakers, the podcast that guides you through tough times with practical tools and inspiring stories. I'm Andrea Thomas, your host and the Sacred Transitions Coach. Join us as we hear from spiritual changemakers who have connected with their higher power and overcame adversity. Whether you are navigating a difficult transition or seeking to deepen your spiritual practice, our podcast provides guidance to help you find magic in the change. Come on this journey of self-discovery, empowerment, and transformation with us and unlock your potential to become your best self. Welcome, beautiful souls, to a new episode on Spiritual Changemakers. My name is Andrea Thomas, and I am your host for this weekly show that we are on. And guess what? Today I'm coming live to you from Bali. I just made it last night, and I was absolutely exhausted. But I'm excited to do a live podcast episode with this energy from Bali because I definitely missed it. And today we have Nadia as a guest, and we're going to talk about a mother's journey through self-love. So how did she get to embark on this journey? She's a single mom of three children, and she was born in Algeria. Then she moved to Switzerland, and then she has spent her teenage years in Canada, and I see Tunisia as well. So she's been moving a lot around throughout her whole life. So I'm very curious to hear about her and hear how that has affected her life and her self-confidence and to embark on this journey. Hello, hello. And while we're going to have this conversation about self-love, about traveling, about health, nutrition, because she's also very passionate about health and nutrition. And one of her missions is actually to change the food in the schools, because we all know that what we put in our body, it has a very big impact with how we feel, with how we think. So that's she's a single mom. She wants to revolutionize the school food. And not just that, but I also know she's passionate about Qigong. So I cannot wait to hear and learn more about that. Welcome, Nadia.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning for you.
Yes, it's so exciting for you to be in Bali. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited too. Yeah. So Nadia, we're going to talk about a mother journey to self-love today. And I would love to hear, before we dive into this topic today, first and foremost, what is spirituality for you? How do you define and use spirituality in your day-to-day life?
So I grew up with parents that were not, they kept their spirituality and convictions for themselves. So I did not grow up with any meant neither to religion or can you hear me well? There's like an echo that's changed. You fine?
A little bit of an echo, but not sure from my phone or internet.
And yeah. And so I grew up feeling like I wasn't holding on to it. I was looking for everything outside of me. So for me, spirituality is finally looking inside my connection to my body, to my organs, and to how it responds to nature, to the sun, to the air. So my connection with the outside natural world, for me, spirituality.
Thank you for sharing. And now tell us what embarked you on this journey of self-love. And I can only imagine being a mom of three children and a single mom. I have so much admiration and respect for you. I'm not a mom, not even to one child, but I have a lot of friends, and my brother actually has three children. So I have three nephews, and I only see a little bit from the outside of how much work actually goes into raising children. So tell us a little bit about your journey so we get to understand more about what got you on finding this path.
So Oh, yes, three children. And I always thought I would have children. It was always the number. So I think I had that number in me. And when I was married, now I'm divorced, of course, I'm a single mom. It was always the plan for me. So I married this man thinking, I love him, but I will change him. I need to change this. I need to change that. I can help him with his health. He has lots of medical issues. But I can help you. I know how to feed you. We can all of that and be happy. But of course, it didn't work that way. I learned in the journey that you can't change anyone. And so the journey started with changing my life. But in the meantime, I didn't have all those tools. So at the age of 35, two young kids, and my life married was really, we were not agreeing on the way we were getting it. I had a plan for my life. I was going to be home, take care of my kids, cooking for them, raising them, my plan. And also, I worked here and there, you know, cooking everything that had to do with food and farmers market. But he had another plan, which was put our kids into a daycare and you go back to work. This is. And so it felt like a breakup. It felt like something really. So I react very strongly. I reacted with anger and we couldn't come into a peace, coming together into peace. We couldn't listen, even though we wanted to listen. And so I left this man with my two kids and the third one who was just born 1 year old.
Wow.
And so something completely crazy that look at me and be like, why would you do such a thing? Inside of me, I felt that I was dying, that my body was getting sick. And I've always had that, that thing that if I'm not healthy, then who's going to take care of me? So health was always for me a priority. From a young age, I always thought I need to have strong legs. I need to run. I need to be able to run. And so it felt that my body was getting sick. I could feel it. And we were not getting along. So I left him. So I found myself in this apartment. I still live in the same apartment. With
how many now?
Or it's going to be the 8th year.
Years. Okay.
And so when I looked for this apartment, I had no work. I worked in farmers markets every weekend because I needed time away from kids. During the week, I was with them. On the weekend, I worked in farmers markets. I brought home tons of beautiful food and money because I was really well paid because I did lots of sales and I was so passionate, but it wasn't enough. But it always came with the thought, it's not enough. And I was not on my side. I was not seeing that it was enough. I felt that it was not enough. Oh, it is what was projected onto me, but this is. And so moving into this apartment, I did not have this job anymore at the market. I had no job, no money. The only reason why I was able to get into apartments was because one of my clients at the farmer's market, when they passed in front, hey, Nadia, do you need anything? Do you need a co-signer? And I said, yes, I actually do. I had not asked her for anything. It just came from her. Without her help and her husband's help, and they were both archers, and they had lots of money, and they looked amazing and presentable. They came with me, the husband came with me that day, and I call him now my French cousin because it's family, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Apartment. And so Faith started, I started seeing how things were working out for me. And the help that I was getting every time.
So faith, you started having faith by having that woman offering you just without even you asking to co-sign for the apartment.
Just like that.
And how would you say faith has helped you moving forward and find the strength and able to be able to raise by yourself three children?
I think taking it day by day. Taking it day by day, sleeping every night. Every night, I listened to Louise Hay, the same meditation she has online, the night meditation, that same morning meditation. And the night meditation, I pretty much know it by heart because she says, your day is over. Whether it's for the good day or bad day, it's over. And at night, I would lay down and go, there's nothing for me to do. There's nothing for me to worry about. There's nothing I can change. But what I can do is sleep so that my body can recover, because that I have that awareness, health, that if I'm not strong and healthy, who's going to take care of my kids? And so every night I slept happy and woke up morning ready for everything that was coming my way.
And would you say is that like one of the first self-care tips, self-love tip you have for the audience and for the moms out there that maybe they are still raising their children by themselves? And I would say even if you're not a single mom, if you are a mom, it's enough. You have so much to do and you don't prioritize yourself, you know, because there is always someone else and something to do. So would you say, is that the first tip that you have for the audience to be able to like release the day and now just embrace the night and focus on resting?
Focus on giving yourself a break, because it's a long journey. So if I made that decision to leave this, I made that decision, right? Is it a bad?
Yeah.
Is it a good decision? It didn't matter anymore. I made the decision. And so that was pretty much in the past. So now that I've made that decision, how am I going to go through this whole experience? Mm-hmm. And at night, it's really a chance to take a break. Doesn't have to be a continuous struggle. Make your bed, drink a good herbal tea, a nice chamomile, and make it a small prayer, nice visualization of you. Mm-hmm. Healthy, like last night felt like me telling my feet to have fun and under the covers. Me, you know, and visualizing my relaxing. Well, I have more knowledge and experience now when with Qigong. So letting go of any tension in my body at night. And if there's, I would say, there's a resistance to that. So if you are telling yourself, no, it's not possible, how can I relax right now? I have too many things going on. Mm-hmm. Then recognize resistance and tell the resistance, I see you. It's okay.
So talk to the resistance instead of just listening to it and do what the resistance would want you to do. Actually talk back to it. And I, from what I understand, it's also like befriending your resistance, no? Instead of, oh, why you show up, or instead of being mad at it, yeah, it's befriending it. It's so, I know.
Is, yes.
I know with moms in general, again, everyone, I'm not talking from experience. But just having a lot, I would say the majority of my friends in the United States, especially all of them, they have children. So I, over there in my years there, I would say I've had only moms around me. So I've heard them a lot talking about the struggles, how hard it is. And I would say a lot about the guilt, the mom guilt that everyone talks about. So how do you get yourself to find the time to take care of yourself, to love yourself, to prioritize yourself when you constantly think, but there is so much to do, but my children needs me. But, you know, so this, I think it's also a woman thing, no, that constantly puts everyone else before them. Mm-hmm. How do you get to the place of prioritizing yourself, mm-hmm, and knowing how important, mm-hmm, that is?
Well, that's where we get into the subject of self-love, right? That's the self-love. And so there's one event that happened that I will always remember, because for me, it changed everything. that one night, came home to my apartment, who was messy, crazy. I worked as a teacher, dropped my kids to school. Everybody is running. It's 9 in the morning. And then did my whole day, shop, did everything. I mean, so many. Then on my way home, opening my door, heard myself say, oh, dinner is not ready. How come dinner is not ready? It should be ready. But I touched that sentence and it pissed me off so much. I grabbed it and I prayed to everyone. I smashed it on the wall. It upset me so much. I said, how can you judge me right now? After everything I've done today, isn't it enough? Didn't I do enough? I did enough. And that's where I thought, I still don't love myself enough. I still don't love myself enough. I'm still judging. And so I started accepting things, you know, anything that we do now, anything that I do for my kids now comes with gratitude. If dinner is waffles, we're grateful for waffles. If today we can make something more fancy, we're grateful for more fancy. And if it's just fruit for dinner, it's just fruit for dinner. And then we can talk about the quality of the food. That matters. Ever felt the guilt of the mom? For one reason is, when I had my first child, I felt a little bit that I was sad if I would lose my I felt that if I didn't hold on to this Nadia, who has dreams, who is still a kid inside, who did not live but that felt like exactly the way I wanted it to be, that felt like craving freedom. And so am I going to be able to live that freedom? You mean that my life is over because I have? No, and that was a call inside that says, no, I want to live my life. And so, but I also want to have kids. So how can both be next to each other? How can we enjoy ourselves with the kids and live our life and be both, you know, content? And so understanding that kids do not, and I was a teacher, so it taught me a lot. Kids don't learn with what we say. Kids learn by watching. I thought, oh, if they watch me go through the difficulties and how I handle them, then it's a win. If they see me, handle a relationship difficulty, then it's a win. Then they watch me go through difficulties. As a kid, I feel that I did not go through enough difficulties. And so I did not grow into, trying, fawning, going back and, you know, whole process of trying, failing. In a way that you just practicing until you get better, get that practice. Kids need that practice while they are with them. So then the parents are still there for them. But all my practices I did them when my parents were long in Tunisia and I was living alone in America. So I was alone doing those experiences.
So how would they that affect your adult life?
The fact that I felt that I started learning things very, I was pampered. My father did not want me to work. He was, you know, he had a great job. My mother was home. He was a diplomat, so couldn't work. And we had a good life, a house, but no freedom in a way to express what friends. We had food, we had a shelter, we had everything we needed. Didn't have freedom. And we didn't have freedom to try. And so if you don't try, loved flowers when I was young, I could have worked in a flower shop, you know, experienced something. I never had that. And so I grew up in Berg. My first job, I remember buying a pair of shoes for $400 because money had no value. Money had no value. I would make $1,000. I would spend $1,000. Would come in and come out because I didn't respect money. And so kids, when kids, I feel that everything from your childhood comes out, or let me speak about myself, everything from my childhood came out. And at first it felt like I was behaving the way my parents behaved, but it wasn't me. So something was coming out of my mouth as an automation or something automatic, but not actually me reacting, because how I want to raise my kids. And that's where I started reading lots on education. And I'm so passionate about educating kids and how to be, and there's a way to be really relaxed at the same time as your kid is having his own experience and you're simply supporting him.
And what would you tell the parents, how they can be relaxed while they are raising their children?
You can. So number one is to really see that, oh my God, when I see, and that's what I do now. I help parents because I see how much they look at me. They're like, how come you're not stressed? And I say, well, stress number one doesn't change anything. Let's put it on the side. It is, and I forgot where I was going.
So the question was, what would you tell the parents that maybe they are more stressed, they are panicked around how they are raising their children?
Thank you for repeating the question, because then my train of thought came back. I remember listening to videos of Sadhguru. And Sadhguru has a nice philosophy of on children. You can type it online on YouTube. Sadhguru and kids. Your kids are not yours. And I thought, oh, it removed the responsibility. It's not all on you. You're not responsible for everything. You are not. They are whole. They come whole. And there's more, it's more curiosity to put in than control. And when we try to control something, it explodes at one point. To take myself an example, my father controlled me all my life. You cannot go out. You cannot. You know what? I went out. I left the house from the window, from the door, from the front, from everywhere. I get out because you cannot stop the energy of soul that wants to live. You can maybe suppress it. You can create trauma. But at the end, you're not helping that soul to grow. And so I would say to the parents, relax. Those kids, they're not yours. They come through you for you to have, and Sadhguru says, it's an honor to raise them. Accept the honor. They come certain time, but it doesn't last that long. This is really just 20 years, pretty much, of really taking care of them. After that, there's a different experience, I'm sure, will unfold.
Yes. Amazing. So something really struck there for me, to replace control with curiosity, because I see so many parents try to control how their kids are behaving and what they're doing, whatnot. And I imagine it's only normal as a parent. You're trying and you're doing your best to educate them, no? But it's so beautiful to replace it with curiosity. And I know control, in general, it's a big issue that us as humanity, I would say, we have, because we focus so much on trying to control the other person, on trying to control what is actually out of our control. So my encouragement for those that are listening, either live or replay, it's really to ask yourself every single time when you want to control, ask yourself, okay, I'm trying to control maybe right now my children or whatever it is, to stop yelling or stop whatever what it's doing that it drives you crazy. But take it back to yourself and ask, okay, what is it that it's in my control right now? How can I support this situation from a loving place? So taking it back to yourself and focusing, what is it that it's in your control? At least that's what it worked for me. So, Nadia, going back to the self care to the self-love topic that we are talking about today, that you have embarked on and been on now for a couple of years. What are some tips, some strategies, some tools that you can share with the audience that would help them, especially moms and single moms that are struggling to make that time for themselves, because the world feels like it's falling because of how many things there are to do.
Mm-hmm. But first, we say the first step is to be okay with where you are. And so remove the judgment. And so it's a nice exercise because it seems simple, but it's not simple, like we say. Anytime you hear it, don't accept. Do not accept. Even if the judgment seems unjustified, like my house is a mess. I should. So the book of Louise Hay is an original, but please read the book of Louise Hay, which is You Can Heal Your Life, because it's amazing. And she'll tell you the word, just remove the word should from your dictionary, from your words. And so as we know things, and I'm sure everyone who's listening here knows that, but it's not about knowing. And you know that also. It's about doing it. And what I find about myself is that when I learn something, I plan. I'm ready to apply it. So apply those things. Really apply it. Anytime, even though it's pinch to you, like, oh, you forget. Be conscious of the words you're telling yourself. They affect your physiology. They affect your mood. They, your self-esteem. And the control comes from the should. There's a should. It comes from. Who said that? Create a life that you love. And if you don't feel that it's possible, acknowledge that you feel that it's not possible. It doesn't seem that it's possible for me to change. And I'm okay with that. And that's where tapping, looking to tapping is a great tool. Because accepting, I accept that for the moment, I don't know what to do. It's okay. And you don't have to do anything. And so go slower. Like, we look for answers. We want them right now. We want change right now. And change happens. It does. It really does. I can see it. But it takes time. And so time does not respect what doesn't respect it. And so if you do not respect time, time will not respect what you're trying to create. Give yourself time. So
patience. Oh, and patience. I hear patience there.
Patience. And patience by applying. And applying one thing at a time. I think it's overwhelming to do too much. So people get vitamins for the mood. Oh, I heard that this plant is good for this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. You get overwhelmed with so many things. Just do one thing. Make it easy. Just don't judge. So I would say, very important, the words you speak. I hear people say, oh, I'm so stupid. And you just said, no, oh, you're not stupid. You know, I just made a mistake.
Yeah. Yes, and it's interesting because people don't realize and don't understand. I think they don't understand the power of their words, because even when I spend right now a month with my mom, every single time when she was making a mistake, she's like, oh my God, I'm so stupid. I'm like, Mom, don't say that anymore, because our mind doesn't know. Like, it cannot separate of like, oh, it's just a joke, or, oh, I'm just saying it like that. No, whatever you say, your mind is like a computer, is going to receive the program, and the words are the program that you're putting into your mind. So do you want to be stupid? Then you're going to keep saying that. If not, you have to stop saying it.
Well, you said it right. It's then they don't see how important it is. They don't understand how important it is. But now, imagine your mom, and this is things that you say to yourself, and kids are around you. And so you kids are watching the way you speak, and that's what they learn. And so, you know, you have your kid who's doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. My son now goes to school speaks words and people come back to me like, how does he know all these things? I'm like, well, because he hears me practice Qigong and he hears beautiful words. So he's absorbing them. You know, he learns it. They look at you, they learn from you. So you are number one teacher. There's no other teacher more important than you. And so most parents put their all the power onto the teachers in school, raise kids. Can you please raise my kids? School does not raise your kids. Yeah. School teaches things, whatever they're teaching, you never know what they're doing unless you're there every day. You are raising your kids. And whatever experience they're going to have in school is really okay. The bad, good, they're going to come home with a story and it's a chance to talk about it. So every and we come to this other idea, anything that comes to you, breathe in, take a deep breath, check in with how you feel inside. And so it's a practice. It's a practice with patience. So this is not something we get to. This is something we enjoy practicing continuously and see a change. It's a practice. Check in with your emotions, what's going on inside, what just happened. So my daughter comes home telling me she was 8 years old. Mommy, I think I am a lesbian.
Okay. And what was your reaction?
So I'm checking in. So first I took the practice of breathing, all right? Because I've had many stories with her. That was not so. I'm like, I don't know. So I have no answer. So I'm breathing in. I take a deep breath. She's looking at me. She's waiting for my answer. And I'm like, and so I check in with myself. I'm like, what's she's 12? Like, what are we talking about here? And what talking about this in school? And blah, 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 blah. And then I look at her and I say, okay. And I said, what does it mean? And she gives. So I let her speak and I have a conversation with her. And then whatever. But then she leaves because she sees that I'm not saying no. I'm not telling her not to do anything. I'm curiously understanding what are her words. Because kids will say a lot of words. Kids will repeat. Kids will try to get a reaction from you. Like the number one thing they love to do. How can I get my mom to be, you know, to get a little bit, to lose her temper or to, let's have fun with mom. What's going to happen? And so keep your cool and check in with yourself. And most of the time, stories come out, but actually, nothing is a problem. There's no problem. So the reacting, holding on to the breath, what's happening inside, and let's wait and see how this is going to unfold, and asking questions. Instead of reacting, what do you mean? Well, it creates tension. Unnecessary tension, because actually there's no problem. They're very young. They'll say a lot of things. And information come and go. Same yesterday, my son got into a fight with a boy. He's 9 years old. School calls me. Okay. Some parents would go crazy. I go there, speak to the principal, deep breath in inside, tell me the story. It takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of your energy to ground yourself and connect. And I was going to say this last thing that felt super important. You are never alone when you deal with things. And this is part of my practice where you fall in anyone you want. I call in my grandmother. I call in my mom for help. And I say, please help me. Please help me right now. Please help me. Please help me right now. I cannot do it. This is not for me. This is so hard. Please help me. Raising this boy is a lot of, as a mom, I don't have a father. It's not my job. I should have a man next to me. All of that. Please help me. Please help. Please help me. So I call upon help. Whatever you believe in, you can call upon God. If you believe in God, you can call upon any energy, a teacher, that boom, please come and help me.
So important to ask for help, because we are just not meant to go through this journey alone.
No.
We are meant to also within our physical, we all know, within our physical space, we are meant to thrive as a community. We used to be trying, but now everyone is so individualistic. And what I've seen, and I've been that through that as well, is that people just don't want to bother. You know, it's like, oh, everyone is so busy. I don't want to be a burden. Mm-hmm. I don't want to bother. So because of that, I'm not going to ask for help. And then these things goes in circle and no one asks for help. And it's like, how can I ask for help if no one ever asks for my help? And I don't want to be that to anyone. And it's like, it goes on and on and on.
Mm.
So why would you tell to those people that struggle ask for
help? Mm-hmm. Well, we know what we give, we get. You want people to help you, start helping, start being that help yourself. You start helping people. So it's a cycle. Energy is a cycle. And to that, I know a few people who will say, yes, but I need help. My whole body, I cannot help. I'm the one that needs help, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had that comment. I am sick. I'm not feeling good. How can I help? But still, I need help. I would say that it's all in your attitude. It's all in what you believe in. You have to look for people to help you. But check in with your emotion. Are you asking for help by demanding and being either or, you know, like with the why I don't have this? I'm just going to take it by force or of course I have to have it or. In a way that's negative and people will feel it. Or accepting the help that people give you, whatever way that they help you, because you will get it. But at the time, you don't see it as help. Somebody helps you just this way. I'm so grateful. Thank you for bringing me a fork. And the next time, bring you the spoon. Somebody brings you, smiles at you. I'm so grateful. Thank you for the smile. So start recognizing the good that is already coming to you. And so Sadhguru also says, expand your perception of things. Start seeing things that maybe you're not seeing. Is there someone in your building that actually every day looks at you with a kind face and that you're not paying attention? It's not enough. Because you want the help of this person this way. And if it doesn't come this way, then you don't have to. Start seeing the things. As you start seeing the things and feeling them, you start changing your thoughts. I am loved. Because you see it. You feel it.
Yeah.
I am helped. I have all the help in the world. And sometimes I tell you, I'm this, but I feel it so that my mother would. It's as if you just received a million. I'm like, but I'm so grateful because it took a lot. Yeah, it takes a lot for people for me to go help. You know that I have a busy life. So if I come to you with just something, it's already a lot for me. I took an hour of my time. I could have been with my kids. So if you're not grateful for it, well, probably next time I won't get out of my way to help you. But these are the thoughts you need to be focused on. Or am I? I have to say that my teacher, Sue, Qigong teacher, I have many, but one of them, Sue taught me something beautiful, and I want to share it with you. She says, at the end of the day, do not look at your to-do list, checking in, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did that. But at the end of the day, ask yourself, have I loved enough today? So have I loved neighbor today? Have I loved my son today? Have I loved the people today? Have I loved the teacher? Have I loved and have I loved? How did I love myself? My feet hurt, and most of my friends, I keep telling them at night, I put my feet in a small bath that costs $2, by the way. It's just the bath, plastic thing that you buy to clean your house. It's used for my feet. I only use it for. And I put hot water and sea salt. And even if I have a little bit of money to spare for me, I'll buy that sea salt and I'll put it in that water and I'll put it at the end of the day. Care of your feet. Because your feet hold you all day long. If you're aware that they hold you, aware that your knees are supporting you. And that's where the awareness, physical body, who is working for you nonstop. When you ask for more, start by recognizing what is already in your life. Gratitude.
Such a beautiful way to put it and to reframe it when people have a hard time asking for help. It's acknowledging what is it that, where are you receiving already help? And I also heard from what you shared to actually release the expectation of how the people should help you and how that should look like, and just being grateful for whatever type of help comes your way.
Yeah.
And in order to receive, you also have to give. But this is where I also heard so many people of having a little bit of, how do you call it? Like a hard heart, because they're like, oh, we've always helped everyone around us. And now that we need the help, we don't get it. And what would you tell to those people?
You know, at the end, it is all of this is a personal journey. So we can say things in that they will understand. Because when you come from a point, from a place where you're like blaming other people for not doing something, there's a lack in you. And so the only person still that is you. So we all have to a healing process where we stop blaming other people for things. You know, we can't be blaming our parents all our lives. It's like at one point, blaming them. It's like, I heard the story for 20 years, but is it gonna, you know, you're almost dead. Life is precious. It's we don't live forever. This is this understanding. Life is short, not short. There's a limit. Forgive. Hard to forgive. Try to. We make a choice. We make a choice to either live every day, put in practice that will help us to be happy, or we don't. We're making that choice. So some people are living this way. What are, you can give them a book, they won't read it. You focusing on ourselves is the best way to teach people. You know, the way to be teaching by speaking is useless. Like I'm saying here, is in a way cannot inspire somebody who is already aware that they can, that it's their responsibility to make them a happy life. Nobody will do it for you.
Yeah, and nobody will make you happy.
No.
Being happy is your responsibility. To make yourself happy. And I know it took me years to get to that conclusion.
Yeah.
And I was waiting so much for people outside of me to do things with, because I used to have a very hard time doing things on my own because I just like my own comfort. And that part of it, I was like, I would get bored if I would just do something just on my own. And I remember being so mad on my previous partner for him not wanting to go hiking with me. And I was so mad. I'm like, but I want to go hiking. And, you know, he has his reasons on why he didn't want to go. And then I understood, oh, my God, I'm actually just like waiting for him to go hiking. And he doesn't want to do it. So what can I do there? Just take myself, just by myself and hike. I enjoy doing that. And it was like such a revelation for me, because I'm like, hell yeah. And ever since, I've been hiking so many times by myself, and I absolutely love it because I get to connect with nature. the universe with God on a so much deeper level than if I go in someone else's company. So it's like asking yourself when it's about self-love and self-care, it's like, how can I give that myself? And not cutting yourself short on waiting for others to fulfill that for you, because a lot of times it's not possible. And it's just, I will also say that it's not as fulfilling as when you do it for yourself.
I can understand, you know, that feeling for me feels like a hole. Feels like for me, I had no ground, so I wasn't feeling the ground. So I was always like in those sand kind of, it would like unstable, not solid. And so, of course, all of it connected to childhood, not knowing yourself, having no idea who you are. And so the whole, I'm going to start trying things. I'm going to try things and see how they make me feel. To follow your joy. Follow your joy. I worked at fishermen at the farmer's market. At first I thought, am I going to tell my father was, you know, had, you know, very high position and read books and study and everything was about big commas. How am I going to tell my father that I'm actually selling fish? But I was so happy. Because that was the best job I've ever had. I would jump on my bicycle in the morning at 7 a.m. You know, I always loved to be on my bicycle, that I know. And then I would go to the farmer's market and spend my time speaking about food and, you know, then looking at the fish. And I changed the whole thing that looked like a regular fish stand. Now it's beautiful. And I, you know, I taught people about why you should eat the heads, because if you're going to eat an apple, better see it as an apple. Filet, also you have no idea what it is. So I was educating people. I could see it something that's very important for me. But when I told my father I'm selling fish for him, it was like, why are you selling fish? But that was the beginning of me saying, it doesn't matter. It's what you think. It's bringing me joy. It's bringing me joy. And when you find your joy, now I see it because I've done it for years, it could be something very small. But from that very, it's like growing the container that you're able to hold. Much joy can you hold? You're gonna start with something small and small. And from that experience of fish, I know that I love educating people. Now I know I love around people. I know that I love to be active, and I know I never let go of my bicycle. So accepting that this person here is worth living a full life, worth my attention. Worrying about them. And it would be too sad if I was worrying about other people and letting go of me.
Yeah, so true. So this was so beautiful, Nadia. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your wisdom and any final words that you have to share with the audience around self-love, self-care.
That's a good one. The last words. The last words. Maybe on food. And the connection with how you feel. So if you can add in just a little bit of, you know, whatever good food you find, visit your farmers markets, visit farms and eat food that have grown in healthy soils. And know that when you feed your body good food, you will be able to sleep better, relax better, and see more. So food is super important.
Yes.
With whatever you can do, maybe the last word would be do without the judgment. So it's the judgment that's the problem. If I can today buy that yogurt and I don't have money to buy expensive one, but I can do this, I'm grateful. No judgment. The judgment, it messes up the whole thing. It makes it look as if it was not an effort, but it is. So I grow at your level and always grateful for both. As small as it is, it's actually what makes you go faster when you acknowledge the small little steps, the small little steps.
Yeah.
When my sister wants to do some self-care, she'll say, today I don't have it. It can be 1 minute when you simply massage your hand and you can say, today I did my hair. That's it. Just do 1 minute.
Start small. The compound effect, no? Mm. It's going to accumulate any time you are going to feel so much better. So I love that you just brought just the 1 minute if you don't have the capacity to do more, because so many times when we think about self-care, it's like, oh, I need to take all these hours, you know, we got the spa, the massage, take 20 minutes meditating. And while those are amazing, the reality is that they are not really a practice that people can do every single day in their day life. It's more like, now I'm going to really spoil myself once a couple, I don't know, weeks or whatever, and do hours. But in general, it's really just a few minutes a day, and that's going to create a big shift in your life. Mm-hmm. So you have shared so many things, Nadia. Thank you so much for coming. And guys, if you're watching us live or replay, make sure you go and check Nadia. She does Qigong. She talks about health, about nutrition, about so many, so many beautiful things. And if you want an inspiration, if you're a mom, and especially a single mom, and if you want the inspiration, make sure you go and follow her journey, because she shares a lot of wisdom on her Instagram. And if you're here with us, just go here up right now where it's like the pinky thing with the live, and you see the number, and click on that and just click follow Nadia and follow me for upcoming future episodes. Thank you so much to each and every one of you for joining, and thank you, Nadia, for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you towards your adventures, Bali. I can't wait to see pictures.
Yes, they are coming. Thank you to each and every one of you for joining us. I love you, I appreciate it, I believe in you.
Thanks for tuning in to Spiritual Changemakers Podcast. To stay connected and help us reach more people like you, please subscribe, follow, and leave a comment. Join our community of spiritual changemakers on social media to connect with like-minded individuals and continue the conversation. Remember, the power to create positive change is within you. Keep showing up as your best self, and let's keep the magic of change alive. Until next time.